You're listening to Tim James Unleashed. Get ready to discover hard-hitting truths on how to embrace a vibrant, healthy, energetic life. Join me as I share my exciting spiritual journey to self-healing and maintaining optimal health for over 13 years alongside inspiring special guests. We will help you to demystify and illuminate your path to self-transformation, spiritual awareness, and growth. And we'll do it one episode at a time. Let's go. What's up, Health Heroes? Tim James here with another exciting episode of Tim James Unleashed. Wow, I just, I love Dr. Glenn Livingston. I really love this guy. We just had him on. He is over at defeatyourcravings.com. He's going to be, he's a psychologist, psychotherapist that has cracked the code himself. He was a 300-pound man, lost a tremendous amount of weight. And he's been working on this for over 20 years and developed systems to help people lose weight. And it's a lot about awareness and stuff. So I think you're really going to, number one, you're going to resonate with this guy. He's got great information. And I really like him. And I hope that you do too. Now, the main thing here is helping people, his world is helping people lose weight. And what I liked about him, he was very aware of all the chemicals that are in the environment that are leading to weight loss. In fact, he mentioned a couple of them pre-show that actually create weight gain, like in block certain pathways for you to stop picking stuff up. Like a lot of this stuff most likely has been put in there intentionally, but even if not, it doesn't matter. It's in there. And it's these chemicals, I'm telling you, it is a major problem. We have got to stop putting them in. We've got to learn how to get them out, right? And so that's what we teach over here day in and day out. We teach you to how to become your own doctor and learn how to self-heal. These strategies are important to have in your home, in your house, for you, yourself, and your family. And once again, when you learn these things, practice them yourself and let your results do the talking. Running around trying to tell everybody like how to do stuff ain't going to work, especially with friends and family. They'll lock onto their belief systems and hold on even for dear life. So just be the example and do that stuff. So get the chemicals out, flood the body with nutrients, and reduce your stress. We talked about all three of these things. These three things, stress reduction, flooding the body with nutrition, and detoxification on the daily are always going to be in the mix. They're always there. Those are three major areas to focus on. And if you do this a little bit every day, trying to just be better than you were yesterday, you are going to get where you need to get, my friend, whether you're suffering from some catastrophic disease or you just want to lose a few pounds, you had skin issues like I did, gut issues, whatever. These things are important. Now, one thing that I want to talk about is like, Glenn's very excited. We talked about Green 85 because he was having people just blend up a bunch of vegetables. So now he's like, oh, maybe this will be better because it's going to be easier for people. And, you know, blending tends to destroy a lot of the nutrition as well. You know, 90 seconds of a high-speed blender is going to kill about 85 to 92% of the nutrition. So we've not done that with Green 85. It's in juice form. So this is going to be a much better opportunity for him and his audience and his followers and the people that are plugging in. I think it's going to be a great fit. But what I want to talk to you about today, because we kind of brought up the initial detoxing, and there's certain things we have to understand. We have about 6 to 12 pounds of impacted fecal material in the colon when we start these journeys. And sometimes we retox and it comes back. Like, so, you know, so you have to get this stuff out of the digestive tract, right? Plus it looks great on the scale and it's pretty motivating in the beginning, right? Even if you lost 1 pound of nasty funk and gunk and junk, you want to get out of there. We have a product that is an ancient Ayurvedic formula called Gut Detox. Okay. Now that product, we've been promoting it. I've been taking it myself for years. It's very gentle. It does not disrupt the good oral or in the gut microbiome, these gram positive microbiome in the digestive tract. Very important. Many different types of things like certain magnesium products and such are a little bit rough, okay, to say the least, on the oral in the gut microbiome. So that's why Gut Detox. Now, since this is a weight loss centered episode, Defeat Your Cravings, right, with Dr. Livingston, I wanted to point out something about our other product called Weightless. Okay. It was designed for weight loss and we call it Weightless. What is Weightless? Okay. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Weightless is gut detox. The main ingredient in Weightless is our gut detox formula, but it's also wrapped in herbs. So the gut detox component is designed to go in and microscopically cleanse the intestinal villi in the digestive tract, removing this unwanted waste matter and getting it out of there so you can now absorb nutrition better and you can begin the process after cleaning up the digestive tract to start healing leaky gut, all these microscopic tears and holes in the intestinal lining. We've got to heal the gut. You want to have good, pretty skin like I do now? You have to have a good, pretty gut. That's the way it was. When my skin was a mess, guess what? My gut was a mess. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to have beautiful skin, start focusing on having a beautiful digestive tract. That's where it's at. So what we did was, and Weightless, actually Dr. Treadway did, is he wrapped it up in some herbs. So the herbs were added along with the gut detox. And what ends up happening is not only does it clean out the digestive tract and keep it clean, no matter what you're eating, because you take it on the daily, but you have these herbs in there to reduce water weight and to reduce inflammation in the body. Okay, inflammation is more water weight too. Right, so this one will clean up the digestive tract, reduce water weight, and reduce inflammation. It's a three-pronged approach to weight loss. And so if somebody was brand new and they're like really focused on weight loss, what I would say to do is initially when you know, is to take gut detox, take one bottle of gut detox and read the instructions, take 3 in the morning and 3 at night for 15 days. That bottle will be gone. And then just switch over to Weightless and then take Weightless long term. So that's just the way to do it, right? Now, you can do the same thing with Weightless. You can take 3 in the morning and 3 at night, but it's just a little less expensive to do the first bottle on gut detox, do the initial detox on the digestive tract, and then switch over to Weightless. So that's all I got to say about that. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I hope that you check out his free book and the bonuses and the education, the teachings he's given. He's a really good guy. And I just wish you all the best in your weight loss journey. And remember that this is a lifestyle. If you want to have weight loss permanently, you have to have a healthy lifestyle permanently. So don't beat yourself up. No matter where you're at, get excited about life. Be positive to yourself. And if you have any improvements, even small improvements, give yourself a big hug. Throw a freaking party because you, my friend, are making progress. Here's Glenn. Glenn, welcome to the show, my friend.
I've been looking forward to it all week. Thanks, Tim.
Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for you to share your story and get into some stuff because, you know, your backstory is pretty cool to me because you call it like, I don't know, being on the dark side and then you switched. And it wasn't like you knew this, right?
I didn't do it on purpose, no.
And now you're like Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? So, no. which is really awesome. And you've lost a tremendous amount of weight. You built an entire community around this, helping other people in a coaching community. You've written a lot of books and some really successful ones. But before we get into your transformation, all that stuff, like who's Glenn? How did you get where you are today? And what's some of the cool stuff in your backstory? And how did you go from, you know, hanging out with Darth Vader to being Obi-Wan Kenobi?
All right. So I guess the most important thing about me for people to know is that I'm not just a doctor that wants to work with overeaters. I'm someone who spent 20 years trying to solve the problem myself. As a matter of fact, I specifically didn't work with overeaters. I was a child and family psychologist, and I work with adolescents and couples and, you know, that kind of thing. I come from a family of 17 psychotherapists. So when something broke in the house.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
Nobody.
Oh, wait, your family was crazy.
They were a little bit. There are wonderful and horrible things about that. But yeah, the joke is if something breaks, we didn't know how to fix it. We just know how to ask it how it felt. But it's kind of an important part of my backstory because when I observed that I had my own problem, and I like to say that I lost a war with a chocolate bar in 1982 and I didn't wake up for 20 years. When I tried to solve that, I took a very depth psychological approach, which in retrospect was not really the right one to take for me and for a lot of other people. I thought if I could fill that hole in my heart, that I wouldn't have to keep trying to fill that hole in my stomach. And what I was neglecting in all of the psychotherapy that I did and the crying and the screaming and the, you know, soul searching and confessing, and what I was neglecting in that was that these big food companies were engineering these hyperpalatable concentrations of starch and sugar and fat and excitotoxins and chemicals that were all designed to hit the bliss point in your reptilian brain without giving you the nutrition to feel satisfied. And the result of that is, you know, when you're looking for love at the bottom of a bag or a box or a container, there's some fat cat in a white suit with a mustache laughing all the way to the bank. That's kind of a caricature of what I observed, because simultaneous to my career as a clinical psychologist, I was an advertising research consultant. I work with, you know, big food and big pharma, mostly big food. And I like to say I was on the wrong side of the war. And so I observed them doing these kind of things.
By the way, listeners, that's the Darth Vader comment I made earlier.
Yeah.
So he was working with some big, we can't name the food companies, but you've heard of them.
Luke, I am your father.
He came back. Always the good always wins. Keep going, buddy.
It does. So, you know, but it took me a long time to realize that. And it also took me a while to realize how powerful the advertising industry was, because people think advertising doesn't affect them, but it actually affects you more when you think that, because your sales resistance is down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they would package up the food in such a way to hit your evolutionary buttons, like a very bright, shiny, diverse, multicolored package for a food bar is signaling the variety impulse in your brain that believes that if it can't eat the rainbow, it came across a patch of varied colored, you know, vegetables, yellow carrots, bright green lettuce, blueberries, red tomatoes, that there'd be a diversity of micronutrients in that. But here you are with these food bars, and they're actually slowly removing the nutrition from the bar and, you know, putting it into the packaging instead. They're really faking us out, but they're pressing that evolutionary button, right? And I can tell you other stories about things that they would do.
So I think what you're getting at is Fruit Loops is really healthy.
God, no. God, no. And, you know, so I was spending these years trying to love myself then. And over time, I saw that there were these very powerful forces in industry that were really targeting my reptilian brain. The other thing I knew about the reptilian brain from graduate school, but I didn't put together until I was almost 40 years old, was that it doesn't know love. So, like, if this is the reptilian brain, it looks at something in the environment and it says, do I eat it? Do I mate with it? Or do I kill it? It's like a bad college drinking game, eat, mate, or kill. It's the mammalian brain on top of that that says, before you eat, mate, or kill that thing, what impact does that have on the people that you love and your tribe and your family? And then the neocortex on top of that further can delay the impulse so that you can pursue longer term goals. Like, what impact is it going to have on your weight loss and your fitness and your overall health and well-being, but also your music and your spirituality and your art and your contribution to the world, your family. It's this thing here doesn't know love. So kind of hit me, and I'm really condensing the story in the interest of time, but it hit me sometime in my early 40s that I'm trying to love myself thin, but the problem is that these food companies have hundreds of millions of dollars targeted at the reptilian brain, which has nothing to do with love. And so there came a time when I decided I had to try something different. I mean, my triglycerides were over 1,000 and I was almost 300 pounds and I had acne and psoriasis and rosacea and eczema and all sorts of little maladies, mostly autoimmune induced.
No, we were eczema brothers.
I think we probably were eczema brothers. I'm about 10 years older than you, so it might have been a different time. But
God, I hated that.
It drove me crazy. It interfered with my sleep and my, you know, my self-esteem was horrible. So I came to this point where I said, I have to try something different. Maybe this love yourself thin thing doesn't really work, because this is a very powerful biological drive that I'm dealing with. It's not, you know, all of my psychological traumas and everything, those are in the upper brain. Those are your memories. Those are your, you know, encoding of experience. And yes, there are emotions associated with that, but it's not really in the reptilian brain. And I said, maybe I have to be more like an alpha wolf. Maybe it's kind of like the same way that I control my bladder or my reproductive organs. I mean, if I see an attractive woman in the street, I don't go run out and kiss her, right? And I actually run the other way because I'm kind of shy, but there are ways that you approach people in a civil society. If I really, really had to pee right now, I would not interrupt this meeting. I would tell my bladder that I'm sorry, I'm talking to Tim. This is an important conversation. It's in alignment with other goals that I have in the world. You'll have to wait. So we're capable of having these very powerful biological drives, but still controlling it with our neocortex, with our higher self. So I did something kind of embarrassing. And I never really thought I was going to be famous for this. I thought that I was just trying to solve something personally. And I wish that I called it something different, but I decided that I was going to call my reptilian brain my inner pig. I decided I was going to call it my inner pig. And that I was going to create a kind of a tripwire in the sand. So I'd make a rule that would say, I'll only ever have chocolate on a weekday again. I'll never have it. On the weekend again. I'll never have it on a weekday. And that way, if I heard a little voice in my head when I was at Starbucks and there's a chocolate bar on the counter calling to me and it's a Wednesday afternoon and it said, you know what, Glenn, you worked out hard enough.
The voices.
Yeah, right. And it'll be just as easy to start again tomorrow. You know, just have a little bit's not going to hurt you. Go ahead and do it. I would say, wait a minute. That's not me. That's my inner pig, and it's squealing for pig slop. Chocolate on a weekday to me is pig slop because I defined it as such. I don't need pig slop. I don't let farm animals tell me what to do. I now know it would have worked just as well to call it a food monster. And I did. Remember, this is a really personal thing, and it was just what I did.
Sure.
So that tripwire would wake me up at the moment of impulse. It wasn't a miracle, but it demystified things. I no longer thought I had some chronic, progressive, mysterious disease inside. I no longer thought that it was because my mama dropped me on my head or something, or that I was in a bad marriage. It was just, I developed some really bad habits, mm-hmm. and I needed a way to wake up. And what I did with that space that opened up between stimulus and response, I focused on disempowering the things that my pig would say. So it would say, it's just as easy to start tomorrow. It's really not, because the principle of neuroplasticity ensures that what fires together wires together. So if I have a craving for chocolate on a Wednesday and I justify it by saying, I'll just start again tomorrow, and then I have the chocolate, I will have reinforced the craving and I will have reinforced the thought. So I'm going to have a deeper craving tomorrow, and I'll be more likely to say start again tomorrow. So you can only ever use the present moment to be healthy, and if you're in a hole, you better stop digging. So I would have these rational disempowerments, or what I came to call refutations, of the crazy illogical excuses that my pig would present. You know, one bite will make a difference. Well, it's the difference between who's in charge, me or you, Mr. Pick. And it's a whole different way of life to let you be in charge versus, you know, me making decisions. If I decide I want to have chocolate on a weekday, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to change my food plan. I'll wait 24 hours before it takes effect. I'm not going to let you make these decisions for me impulsively. So I disempowered the internal voice like that. And then over the years, I worked with all the different things my pig would say, and I kind of fixed it. And then in 2015, I got divorced. And long story short, I wrote a book. I had a minor connection with the publishing company, and so they helped me get it published. But I wrote the book. And over the course of about 18 months, it became wildly popular. You know, before we knew it, I had 1 million readers. And then I got this gig on Psychology Today, and I got another 1 million readers there. And, you know, people don't really know me by name, but they'll point at me in a bookstore and let's say, you must be the pig guy. And it started generating a lot of requests for coaching clients. So I opened up a coaching practice to do that. And then I had too many, so became a little agency. The next 8 years, we got really, really good at fixing people's thinking quickly. So when we measure results, which is not a double bind, you know, third party independent university study, it's just follow-up surveys. But when we measure those results, we find that for people who engage with us, they get an 89.4% reduction in overeating episodes during the first month that they work with us. And I was really proud of that. It took a long time to get it done like that. But when I would measure the long-term results, they weren't as good. It was more like 55, 60%. And I found that that was comprised of two types of people. People who kept using the techniques and they were upper end 80%, and people who just dropped out and they were, you know, back to where they were. Mm-hmm. And so I'm almost done, and then I'll let you ask any questions that you want to.
Well, sure, whatever.
Okay. So the last part of the story is, in the last couple of years, it really bothered me that people were dropping out. And so I started researching that. And I found out the reason they would drop out is because eventually they get to the point where they would say, you know what? You took away all my excuses. I don't have any good reasons to, you know, break my rules or, you know, eat badly when I don't want to eat badly, eat beyond my own best judgment. But, oh, well, what the hell? I really want to. Screw it, just do it. There was this screw it, just do it response. Or as my friend Helene likes to affectionately say, a case of the efforts. Mm-hmm. So I said, what is causing that? How does that happen? When I researched that, it often falls under the rubric of what psychologists would call organismic distress. It could be not good enough nutrition. Maybe they were skipping a meal. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just going to start adding these things up. I was counting them on my hand as you were.
Okay. Yeah. So it could be, it could be inappropriate nutrition or just not regular nutrition, skipping a meal, having a meal of junk food. It destabilizes the system. You know what kind of chemicals are in those products. And it just creates this internal distress where there's an authentic biological hunger. That was one reason people would say, screw it, just do it. It could be, number two, being impinged upon to make too many decisions over the course of the day. Turns out that willpower is the ability to make good decisions. And it's not really a genetic gift. Some people look at other people and say they have willpower. I don't. It's more like gas in the tank that you wake up with in the morning and you burn over the course of the day as you make decision after decision. And it's not just food decisions, and we have to make hundreds of them. It's who takes Jenny to soccer practice? It's what suit should I wear? It's what time is the meeting and who do I invite to the party? And people have trouble resisting marshmallows if you make them do math problems beforehand. So we started asking people to take decision-free breaks a couple of times a day, and that would make a difference. It could be that their breathing had become too shallow and fast. And there are two nervous systems in the body. There's a nervous system that is responsible for emergency action to get you revved up, feast and famine, fight or flight, flee or freeze. And if you were running from a hungry tiger, you would be breathing really fast and shallow. So it turns out that if you can breathe out for longer than you breathe in. I'm not going to do it right now because it takes a lot of time. But if you breathe in for a count of 7, for example, and out for a count of 11, you start to signal your nervous system that it's okay to chill out. You move from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic system, and you begin to get back in your right brain. See, the
woohoo! That's one of my favorite things to do.
The function of the sympathetic nervous system is to push your rational brain out of the way so that you can take care of emergency needs. And it doesn't have to be a real emergency. It can be a perceived emergency, or take advantage of scarce opportunities for resources, which the brain perceives these, you know, 1,000 calorie bags of, you know, chips and cookies and ice cream to be, because we didn't have that kind of concentrated caloric opportunity 100,000 years ago on the savannah. So we started having people do some breathing exercises when they would feel that tripwire go off, and that would make a difference. There are things like not getting enough sleep, not getting enough water, being too isolated.
I'm always in bed by 10. I was up till like 1:30. That's why I can't stop yawning right now.
I'm glad it's not because I'm bored.
I'm loving this conversation, but I'm just like, it just hit me because it's like I had lunch a little bit ago, and I'm like, it's like, I got to tell everybody, like right now, you got to focus on your sleep. You got to put sleep number one, especially if you want to lose weight. He's going to be talking more about it right now, but he's just getting to it. It's like sleep is something that's totally in your control. And I'm feeling it right now. It's such a huge difference because normally I'm like, and I have like, you know, energy, and maybe I'll, you know, feel better in a little bit after I digest this food. That's where my energy is going. But my God, it's like, I just keep yawning and yawning and yawning, and I'm hanging on every word, but my body just like, it's tired because it was like 2.5 hours. I'm off. So I got thrown off.
And you don't really have the right hormonal balance to lose weight if you're overtired. Sleep is really important. A good thing to know about sleep is your body does have the ability to make up for it pretty quickly, especially there's something called the REM deprivation effect, which really interferes with your thinking. But if you lose 6 hours of sleep, you can make up for a lot of it with a 3-hour nap. Just so you know about that.
I'm feeling like a nap right now after this call. The Friday afternoon nap.
I got my couch right here. We just lie down and talk. Keep talking while we're chilling.
Yeah, you can. Let's do it. I'll lay down. You can psychology me. Do some psychotherapy.
Yeah, I don't really do that. I don't really do that anymore. But I have to tell you, when I was 9 years old, I was the kid who had his friends come over to the house and lie down on the couch and tell me about their mother. That was my favorite thing to do when I was a kid.
Awesome.
I was such a weirdo. So, you know, there are all these typical types of self-regulation. There was people feeling too isolated. You know, like now you can kind of function as an individual, but 100,000 years ago, you really couldn't. You needed the tribe to survive. Yeah. And so on a primitive level, if we're feeling too isolated, and that it doesn't mean that you have to be a social butterfly. A lot of people are introverted. They don't like that. It does mean you feel like you have connections in your life where you could turn to if you wanted to. So you know that the tribe is not far away if you need them. And so this is why I wrote the new book, was to incorporate. I no longer think just fixing your thinking about food is enough to get it done. I think you have to learn a lot about the self-regulatory processes also. And the longer that I do this, the more I think you have to get the chemicals out of your system. Like the less processed food you eat, the better results that I see. This food creates the cravings for itself. It's pretty evil what goes on there.
I gotta tell you, man, like I've built out of the beginning, I built my whole company out of this. Besides doing the coaching, we launched that product you see behind me called Green 85. It's a super ultra concentrated green juice formula. I built it so it'd be as close to a fresh pressed juice as possible. And it's designed to replace that 85% of nutrients missing in the soil. And my clients, one after another, after another, after another, after another, we have them take it in the morning on an empty stomach, and then again in the afternoon before dinner. And you eat half as much food. And people are just like, they can't believe it. They're like, what's going on? I'm like, what you said earlier, you're getting stimulated, but there's no nutrients. Your cells don't have the building blocks to carry out the function. They're like, so they keep sending signals, give me some more food, damn it. And so you eat, 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 but you can never satisfy your need for cellular nutrition. And you're in this, it's like a,
it's a vicious cycle.
It's like you're an illusion. It's like this, it's like hidden loop. You don't even know you're in it until you start flooding your body with nutrients. And at the same time, we're detoxing people, heavy metals, parasites, pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, larvicides, chemical fertilizer, PFAS, all this stuff, nitrates. There's over 100,000 chemicals, right? These are just some that most people are getting. They're shining some light on, people know a little bit about. So you have all these chemicals in. You look at the umbilical cord studies. When I saw those about 9 years ago or whatever it was, when I looked it up, I sat back in my couch or my chair and I was like, oh my God, like we're all polluted. If the youngest children, these babies coming out of the womb, are completely polluted, they're finding like 250 chemicals in the womb that cause cancer in humans and developmental and brain disorders.
Wow.
And they're only looking for 400. And there's 100,000 chemicals. That means on average, the average person's got about 71,000 chemicals floating around in their fat and their blood and their muscle tissue. And those concentrations in the muscle and fat tissue are actually 500 to 1,000 times more, a percent more than what they're finding in the blood. It's unbelievable. And so how can you lose weight if your fat is storing these chemicals as a protective measure so you don't die? It doesn't matter how much you work out. There's got to be some level where your fats, you have to set up an environment for the fat to release the chemicals.
So is that why people go through a very uncomfortable period when they start to lose weight, when they start to clean up their diet? That the the detox that they go through.
Yeah, well, there's the emotional stuff, but like you said, they've got chemists that they've paid, I don't know, probably, I would guess probably $350,000 a year to very high level people to, like, children's cereals. Like, one of the things that drives me the most nuts is, like, there's, you know, besides the high fructose corn syrups and corn syrup, these super sugars that are highly addictive, that hijack the brain and the hippocampus, all this stuff, right? They've hired these chemists to put opiate derivatives into children's cereal, and it's not even on the label. It's not even there. And it's the way the labeling, yeah, well, it is. And then now you got all these kids on depression medication. Well, it's the cereal too. And then there's glyphosate and blah, 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 all these other stuff. So you have the chemicals, you have super sugars, you have opiate derivatives. Well, you're screwed. I don't give a shit who you are. Like, if you don't understand this stuff, it's like the most important thing is stop putting this stuff in you. You have to understand that everything in your environment, you have to take a look at. And that's what we do. And that's what I've done really good is, like, what kind of air are you breathing? What kind of water are you drinking? What kind of food are you eating? What kind of clothing are you wearing? Like, most women don't even know this. Like, these Lycra bras are off-gassing cancer-causing chemicals directly into the bloodstream through the breast, a very high hormonal area. Men, too, you got your little tidy whiteys on, right?
Yeah.
Well, if that cotton, which is the second most sprayed crop on the planet behind sugarcane that they're shoving down your throat, literally, and everything, your nuts are being blasted with chemicals, hormone disrupting chemicals. And I see it everywhere. The breast cancer's through the roof, ovarian cysts, uterine cysts, boys have man boobs, girls have extra facial hair. There's just all kinds of weird stuff going on, right? And so these chemicals are a massive problem, and you can't see them. Yeah. They're out of sight, out of mind. And our clients, just simply by getting to drink more water, it's the most important thing, is that's going to help get the flow going. So water, you have to get the right water. Just tons of, you're drinking a lot. You're going to just douse that pig with water. You're going to clean up that little piggy.
What's the right water?
Well, I've been on a journey for this for a long time, and I'm kind of stuck in the middle of a situation right now because I went from, I got a big, huge carbon filter, and then my wife's issue with her hair went away, like her dandruff, and the water tasted way better. And I'm like, how the hell was I drinking that city water? Then I got a distillation unit, which is a purification type system. Mm-hmm. Distillation is awesome. It's great. You actually get purified water. But then the vapor valve was releasing the stuff into my house and the chemicals, and I didn't have an air purification system. But you can take the distillers and put them under the house. They're automatic, so you just have automatic water coming from them. You can put them in places where that you have an air purifier to purify them, then you're dialed. But I didn't know that, so I kicked that out. And then I went to a triple purifier, and it was a reverse osmosis, and then it went through two levels of deionization, which are also good. But I think the distilled water is probably one of the best. And then now we're actually looking into quantum water. So we have a product we call the Water Hero, but we haven't really launched it, even though people can find it on the site. Like, we've sold out of the handheld units, but the guy who invented it, right when we kind of locked arms, had some severe family stuff he was dealing with. And I've had to let him sit there for almost a year now and just kind of deal with that. And I think he's just about done with it. His daughter is, you know, coming out of the hospital now and all this stuff. And so he's actually going to be coming up here, and we're going to be doing some filming and doing some stuff. And he said, you know, he's been working on improving it as well. Some stuff has come to him. He's like a Tesla. He's very smart. And all we know is we have anecdotal stuff, like our microgreen grower on the team, his yields are better. This other guy, the guy himself took a pomegranate orchard that was dying and just put this water on it, and the trees came back to life and are pumping out pomegranates, and they haven't even sprayed any. They haven't put any fertilizer on it. It was just the water. And so, and you can make your coffee, like if people make coffee, it'll actually percolate through the grounds at a different speed, and the coffee tastes unbelievable because it stabilizes it so that the coffee doesn't go rancid while it's in your cup. So this guy is like, it's unbelievable. Like we're very excited, but I told him, like, I feel great on the water, but I can't go out and tell the world about it until we can unequivocally show people in their home what's happening and have tests to prove it. So we've hooked up, we have about a $10,000, $12,000 device we're sending off to a university to get calibrated. He's going to bring it out here with me, and we're going to test, and we're going to have a university showing what we're doing. So I have that university testing, And then we're going to have some, you know, do at home stuff where people can test at home so they know we're not bullshitting them. Because this whole quantum water, structured water thing is like all these units, there's nobody out there telling you, like, how does it actually work? And so I want to crack the code on that, even though it's up on our site, but I don't promote it at all. I just don't. I mean, I've talked about it a couple times. I'm kind of like, I just tell people I'm not ready yet. So, you know, I just tell people, like, don't even buy it yet. Like, just if you want to, just buy the handheld units because they're like $495 and then try it out. If you like it, do it. But, you know, we've had some people, I mean, buying the 3/4 inch and the 1 inch units, and we haven't had any returns. So people must be liking them. But I want to do all the installation videos and stuff. So it's not like quite packaged up, but I was so excited about it. My private coaching students and people in our inner circle wanted it. So I had them the team put it up on the site just so people could, cause I'm not taking orders over the phone, dude. I got so much shit going on trying to get this farm going and taking care of my mom and dad with the hospice care before my mom passed. And so I just said, throw them up there and I'm not going to advertise it. And we'll just let, you know, people go grab it. Hey, it's buyer beware, but you know, they know, like, I could, you know, next month, maybe I'll find something better. But I think right now that's where I'm at on the water is, but you can always in default. And I always tell people, like, look, you can always go get single purified water, like distilled water at your grocery store for 25 to 55 cents a gallon and get gallon glass jars and go pack your water if you're in the city. That would be a really great place to start and drink a lot of it, half your body weight in liquid ounces daily. So if you're 200 pounds, that's 100 ounces a day. You know, next thing, maybe there's some springs around, but you got to be careful. Some of these springs have too many certain types of inorganic minerals in them, and they can lead to hardening of the arteries, gallstones, kidney stones.
Oh, great.
So once in a while, no problem. But then all the water's polluted today, man. So my bottom line is here at Chemical Free Body in my life, I ain't touching water unless I've purified this stuff. That's it. That's where I'm at today. Because I just, 73, 74% of the rainwater's got glyphosate in it they test now. That's insane. So anyway, there's the dissertation on where I'm at in water.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have to dig into that a little myself because I drink an awful lot of water. Now, I've just intuitively found over the years that I feel much better the more water that I drink. And the further away I got from processed food, it seemed like I needed to drink more. I imagine because this stuff was coming out of me. So,
let's get the chemicals out of people and flood them with nutrients. That is just a basic thing that just works.
Yep.
It just works. Yep. Water and nutrients work.
And see, what happens otherwise is people think there's something wrong with them. They think that, you know, they've got a broken brain. The reason they have these really strong cravings is that they've got a broken brain, but you've got these strong cravings in part because partly because your brain is healthier than other people, because the people who had stronger cravings 100,000 years ago were more likely to survive because we had to be really motivated to go and do what was necessary to find food that was scarce. But you also have really strong cravings because we live in a really sick modern food environment. And you're being constantly stimulated by it. And, you know, you develop some habits. So, yeah. And so the conclusion that you have a disease or that you're powerless or you can't help it or that you're, you know, people will say that they're doomed because their parents were fat, that gives you a little bit more of a hill to climb, but it doesn't make you doomed. A little less than half the variants of obesity is accounted for by genetics. So, you know, it's important to look at these things and have very practical measures to, you know, to intervene in those automatic habit loops that are created by the industry in your brain.
And a positive outlook too. Like if you're like, oh, I'm a loser, I'm a douche, I failed again. It's like, no, you have to understand your body, your brain, your cells have been hijacked and polluted. Like, so take that completely off the table. Most of people, I mean, look at the people refer back to this. Look at the beach pictures on people in the 1950s versus today. There was hardly anybody that was overweight at all. What's changed? Tremendous amount of chemicals, tremendous amount of stress, and a deficiency in the raping of the soil. So they're deficient in nutrients.
And a tremendous amount of advertising.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah. It's Jakarta Krishnamurti said it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. There's one more thing that people, I want to underscore.
Krishnamurti, that's awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah, me too. There's one more thing that underscores what you're talking about. The questions that we ask ourselves dictate the evidence that we collect. So if you're asking yourself, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stop eating? You're telling your brain to find evidence that you can't stop eating and that there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. If you do that long enough, you're going to find something wrong with you and really believe that you can't stop eating, as opposed to saying, how can I improve? How can I do better? What can I learn from this last situation? That then you're going to collect evidence of success and you'll develop a success identity. That's a really, it's a really critical shift, and it's very hard for people, particularly after they've made a mistake. So you want to collect evidence of success and develop a success identity.
So what you said is the power of advertising, it gets people to do a lot of stuff they don't want to, right? What you say, what you say to yourself is you're advertising to yourself.
Yes.
You were just talking about right there that send yourself different advertisements. Don't say, why am I such a fat loser and I keep doing this? I'm a moron. That's a bad advertisement to keep pressing down. You're going to believe it no matter what. Or there's like, oh, okay, well, I'm overweight. Okay, well, most people are too because of all this stuff, but I listen to Glenn and Tim, and I'm understanding that half of my problem is chemicals and nutrition, all this other stuff. So let's get focused. What can I do? How can I do this? I'm gonna get a little bit better every day, a little bit better every day, and I'm not going to compare myself to nobody else because there is nobody else like me. Mm-hmm. Zero. You are unique. Creation never will make another one of you. You are an amazing, unbelievable creation. So get excited about that process and start advertising good stuff in your brain. Speaking it, but when you think it, these things are real.
Well, and what I mean by collecting evidence of success is something as silly as I ate the whole pizza, but I didn't eat the box, or I had, you know, 5 cupcakes instead of 15, or I had a 2-hour binge instead of a 2-day binge or a 2-week binge.
Yeah, right? That is like, we should have a parade.
Yeah.
Like if you had a 2-day binge, there's people like that. I have clients that are like that, and then they use fasting as a tool. So they binge, then they fast and lose the weight. And then they binge. You do not want to do fasting for that, right? At all. But anyway, I lost my train of thought, but keep going.
What I find with regards to the fasting is that I don't dispute the medical benefits of it. I'm not a medical doctor, but I'm sure I've seen a lot of medical benefits for it. However, if you're struggling with overeating and eating way beyond your own best judgment, it's better to have 3 regular, reliable meals day in and day out for about 6 months while you overcome that and change your habits. And then you can resume intermittent fasting if you want to. Because if your brain were in an environment where calories were very scarce, which was the case when we were evolving, then the moment there was a harvest or a hunt and calories and nutrition were available, we would have to hoard it. So it makes sense that we would have developed an evolutionary mechanism that says hoard all you can when the food is available, if you keep telling your brain that you live in a feast and famine environment. And that's why there's that old nursery rhyme, when she was good, she was very, very good. When she was bad, she was horrid. That's how most people live their life. Most overeaters are actually very good dieters until they're not. And then they fall off and they just live in this feast and famine environment. So the solution for that is regular reliable nutrition at a slight caloric deficit if you want to lose weight, unless the doctor says it's urgent. You know, a pound or two a week usually is what the pace that I find people can maintain.
Quick, Glenn, I was going to tell you, like, I remember what I was going to say. If you binged for 2 days and that was standard practice and all of a sudden you're only binging for 2 hours, you should throw a freaking party. There should be a parade,
right?
Like, this is and give yourself a hug and a pat on the back and be like congratulatory towards yourself and give yourself some self-love. That is a fantastic progress.
Yeah. I lost track of what I was going to say there too. I was going to say something important, but Steve Martin in that situation used to say, well, I'm radioactive, that's what it is.
I forgot what I was saying. I remember it cut you off. Now I made you forget what you were saying.
I do have something important to tell people, though, because there's one more scientific fact that people don't understand about how cravings work, and they misinterpret what the meaning of their cravings are, and as a result, they get stuck in an endless cycle. So if I could take maybe 3 or 4 minutes and explain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So already told you before, the cravings had a survival value to motivate us to go and find food. There would be food cues in the environment. Maybe think about a caveman named T-H-A-G, Thag, 100,000 years ago, just because I like the name. And maybe he would see a monkey that would lead him to a banana tree. That monkey becomes a food cue, much like the donut store sign leads you to donuts and coffee. The monkeys would lead him to a banana tree. And when Thag did that, he would gorge himself on the bananas because they were pretty scarce. It's hard to find back then. And he'd bring some back for his family. And he would be more likely to survive if he got really happy the next time he saw a monkey, got really, really motivated to go see the monkey. As a matter of fact, he would enjoy the process of following the monkey as much as he would enjoy eating the bananas. That's how our brain works. It gives us a big hit of dopamine. The brain also lowers your dopamine to make you miserable if you don't follow that monkey. So our brains are set up to be hypervigilant for food cues in the environment. And to attach us to the food cues, fill us up with dopamine and pleasure, motivate us to go, you know, seek the reward. And then if we happen to pass it by, say, I'm going to make you miserable, you better go get that monkey, you better go get that donut. Okay, so most people think that if you were to try to stop having donuts, let's say I'm eating donuts every day on the way home, and it's first it's a donut, and then it's two donuts, and it kind of evolves to three, and I'm developing a little punch. So I decide to make a rule that says I'll never eat donuts on the way home from work again. And people think that what would happen is that the craving intensity would start up here. And then day by day, as you don't have the donuts, it should go down and down and down and down and down and down and down. But that's not how it works. And there's a good reason that it doesn't work like that. What actually happens is there's a little bit of a honeymoon period. Then you have a worse craving than you've ever had before. It's just horrible. And then if you push through it, it starts to come down. And then there are a couple of little craving bursts at the end. This is called an extinction burst in the behavioral literature. And there's a solid reason for it. Think about what would happen 100,000 years ago if Thag followed a monkey to a tree and got bananas, and the next day he did the same thing, and for a month he kept on finding bananas whenever he followed monkeys. He'd have a really strong monkey-following habit. Then all of a sudden, what would happen if one day the monkey led him to a tree where there were no bananas because the season had worn on and it was scarce? Do you think Thag's brain would stop secreting dopamine at that point and say, okay, time to give up. Obviously, this doesn't work anymore. That's not what happens, because as the season would wear on, maybe the monkey would lead him to a tree 80% of the time that had bananas, or 50% of the time, even 20% of the time. And it turns out that having a food cue or a monkey that leads you to a reward or a banana 50% of the time or 20% of the time is better than having no monkey at all. For this, that's the reason for the extinction burst. It's like, it's almost like your brain is saying, where the F are my bananas, right? I always found bananas when I went after monkeys. I always found donuts when I drove past the donut store. Where the F are my bananas? Where the F are my donuts? And that's what that, it's testing. Your brain is testing for the intermittent random availability of the reward that it used to find all the time. And what happens is when most people get this real burst, they say, I can't do this. This is going to be torture forever. They think this is just what it's going to be like. And so they have the donut, or, you know, they would reinforce the craving.
Yeah.
Now your brain learned that that reward actually is intermittently available. Now you're in a kind of slot machine type situation. You ever notice that Las Vegas, these women are glued to the slot machines because they never know when it's going to pay off. It pays off at random. And
lots of cues too. Ding, 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 ding
So you know, it's the most addictive reinforcement schedule that we find in the behavioral literature. Is this, they call it variable ratio intermittent reinforcement. It just means that you don't know when it's going to pay off. You can use the fact that the brain responds strongly to that to create a situation where you don't really have to give up donuts entirely if you don't want to. You could say I'll only ever have them on Saturdays at 10 a.m. after a workout. What do you think would happen at a casino if the slot machines only paid off on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m.?
Well, they would empty out. Yeah.
Right? It would empty out during the week, right? It wouldn't take long for people to figure that out. It turns out your brain is very capable of identifying complex cues to signal the availability of a reward. And so people always ask me, do I have to give this up or can I moderate it in some way? Two out of three people I find can moderate if they're very specific about what those cues are, what those conditions are under which they'll have it. You know, I never eat bread except in a restaurant environment when I can have two slices twice a week, right? Be very, very specific. And if you're going to be able to moderate something that you were out of control with before, this is how you're going to be able to do it. The other mistake people make is that when they get to the end of the curve, they start to feel kind of cocky. They start to feel like, I've got this. I could probably handle a donut or two. Boom, you're intermittently reinforcing again. You go right back to the beginning and you're doing it again. The brain never forgets an addictive learning. It never forgets a way that it previously automated to acquire calories because it believed that this was keeping you alive. And it was a survival advantage to never forget this. So it would have been valuable the next season, even if the bananas all dried up in the winter, it would have been valuable the next season to, you know, have that learning intact. So that immediately when you follow a monkey to a banana tree, you're all the way back up at the top again with the cravings and the dopamine. So the best you can do is get things to be labeled dormant. It's pretty good because you won't be bothered by it. If you get to the end of that curve, you won't be bothered by it. The last thing I want people to know is that cravings come in stimulus cravings pairs. This is why people say, well, the bakery triggered me, or you know, the pizza place triggered me, or something like that. And so let's say I did extinguish the donut store on the way home from work. And then my mom invites me over to a card game on Saturday morning. And I hadn't been there for a couple of months, and I had not been bothered with donut cravings for forever. All of a sudden, I'm at the card game with my mom, and there are donuts that she's serving, and I've got worse cravings than I've had in the longest time. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I failed. I'm never going to be able to get over this. No, I didn't fail. I succeeded in extinguishing the donut store sign on the way home from work as a trigger for, you know, donut cravings. I did not extinguish my mom's apartment.
There's a new monkey in town.
There's a new monkey. Yes. That's the best way to put it. I never heard anybody say that. That's great. There's a new
what I would say if, what I would say if, is like you, this is why you keep a glass jar full of water and a scoop of green 85 in it, and when you see those donuts you go, wait, stop, hold on, drink a green, wait 20 minutes and then go see if you need that donut, and if you do, you'll eat half as much as you wanted to. That's what I'd be teaching people.
I've been telling them to blend up a half a pound of leafy green vegetables and water, because we kind of discovered that works too if there's no medical reason they can't do that. That's really interesting. So I want to try your green 85 now.
Yeah, we'll get you some. It's awesome. It really is. I haven't had too many complaints about it. We just help. It just gets people results. And if there's no magic in it except the magic that Dr. Treadway put in it, but it's just replacing what's missing. And it shuts down those hunger signals, man. It's like, it's awesome.
So what you want to do before you want to take this extinction curve seriously. You don't want to go into battle wearing a plastic helmet. It's just something you're going to go through. So, you know, make a list of the things you want to get under control. Figure out what role you want them to play in your life. Do you want to have them under this condition or that condition? Do you want to give it up entirely? And then usually if you work at them one at a time, it's best. And so let's say that I'm trying to get sugar under control, and I'll make a rule for, you know, the only sweet things I'm going to have are, you know, whole fruit berries and maybe some, you know, mints if I need to go on a date or something. And I'll make that rule. Well, I know the next 30 days are going to be a little rough, particularly the next 10 days. This was a daily habit. So I want to attend to the rest of that organismic distress. I want to try to get more sleep during this period. I want to try to drink more water during this period. I want to make some more social contact if I can during this period. I want to make sure that I'm better nourished than I've ever been as I go through this period. You want to look at all those other areas of self-regulation so that you're less likely to encounter the screw it, just do it response. And you want to survey your monkeys. You want to figure out what other monkeys are likely to come to town. So before I decide to work on the donuts, I might say, well, where else have I craved donuts before? Well, so if I was it at an office party at my mom's place, was it on vacation when I was hanging around with my ex-wife or something? Where else do I do that? And how am I going to support myself in those situations so that you're not surprised and you know that you have to extinguish all of them? So that's what I wanted to say.
Very, very, very interesting stuff, man. Very interesting stuff. And I just appreciate the amount of time and effort and energy you put into understanding and figuring all this stuff out. I've learned some stuff today for sure. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we bounce?
I want to tell people where to get a free copy of the book before we're done. But the last thing I wanted to say is that it helps to start simple. I tell people to start with one simple rule, unless it's really urgent that you lose weight quickly.
A wedding.
Well, no, that's not a good reason. No, I'm talking about like you have to have surgery or your doctor says you're going to have a heart attack or,
I talk to a woman who's getting married, dude, and the bridesmaids.
I know. Believe me, I talk to them all the time.
I've never seen anybody move mountains more than a woman getting married or one that just got pregnant.
Yeah, but I find that they crash after that. So that's why I try to slow them down a little bit if I can.
It's all about a lifestyle, Glenn.
Yes. Yes, sir.
It has to be a lifestyle.
Yeah. But I say start with one simple rule. Remember, people are on this. They're either very, very good or they're horrid. So let's kind of put that to the side and let's think of one thing that you know you could and would do that wouldn't be too burdensome. It would make a big difference and make you feel like you're going in the right direction, but you're probably not going to lose all your weight this week. So for example, I remember a truck driver who had to eat 3 fast food meals every day. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to stop eating fast food, but I'll tell you what, I won't go back for seconds. It's that kind of thing. And then
yeah,
if you do that, it's something you can do because you really want to win. You want to teach yourself that you can win this game. When you see yourself not going back for seconds for a couple of weeks, you're going to start saying, I must be the kind of person who doesn't go back for seconds. I must care about myself. I have this capability. I'm a winner. I can do this. Yeah. Right. And then your identity function takes over and it's inspiring. And you ask yourself, what's the next simple thing I need to do? And I've seen that formula work time and time and again, as opposed to people who try to, read a diet book and go massively on the diet on Monday morning. And then, by Monday afternoon, they're coming back crying. Can you tell me that they tell me that
they're eating, so. And they're eating more. Yeah. They're eating more.
And they're eating more. Yeah. So that's the last thing I wanted to say. And other than that, unless you have any questions, I'll tell them how to get a free copy of stuff.
No, I think it's been great. And, I think when people go to these wellness centers that I participate in and some of the places like Mountains of Hope where I've led people through processes, is that there is going to be, when you start making change, it's typically going to get a little bit harder right before it gets better.
Yeah.
But to have the mental awareness and know that now you're prepared for it. And what are some of the things you can do that you're in control of to help you get through that? Well, one of them's sleep. Another one's drinking lots of water. Number two is colon hydrotherapy. Like if you want to cut your detox symptoms by 50%, do a colon hydrotherapy session, or even more better, do 2 back to back, one on one day and then one on the next day. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into it today. You can go back, I think, and watch episode 36, something like that, or 53. I can't remember, with Dr. Rebecca Harder. Talked about colon hydrotherapy. Flood your body with green nutrition and start doing things to detoxify, So these are things you can start doing that will help you get through these processes in the beginning. But Glenn shed some light on something very important. Understand the frequency and the rhythms of these cravings and how they work, so that when they come, just like when we work with smokers to help them get off, you're going to have cravings and they're going to be tremendously painful for 30 seconds, but then they go away. And you're going to have a certain amount every day. And then after a certain amount of days, they'll drop and drop and drop. And after about 21 days, they go.
And the only way out is through. The only way out is through. The brain extinguishes cravings through discomfort. You got to go through it.
Yeah.
It's the only way. Yeah. So I like to get to the point where I say, bring it on. You know, let's do it. Bring it on.
Awesome. All right. So where do people find you? And if they want to get coached, get your new book, all the cool stuff you got going on.
I like to start people with the free stuff. So if you go to defeatyourcravings.com, it's the D, defeatyourcravings.com, click the big blue button and sign up for the reader bonus list. You'll get a free copy of the book in Kindle, Nook, or PDF format. We also have traditional formats if you want, but there's a traditional charge for that. You will get a set of food plan starter templates. So, you know, I'm a Whole Foods plant-based person myself, but I work with people with all types of dietary philosophies. As long as you're not trying to starve yourself, we can help you with this.
Will you work with people that are whole pizza chocolate based?
Not really. I'll try to. No, or if people who are want to be breatharians, or you know, if you're clearly nutritionally deprived, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. And the longer that I do this, the more that I really wish. I think greens are the miracle. I honestly do. I think that I think I heard Dr. Furman say, the more you green, the more you lean. But it's really true. I just think we evolved eating tender leafy greens, and we need the chlorophyll and we need the fiber. And
yeah.
Anyway, but I'm not. I like to say this is diet agnostic. As long as you're nutrifying yourself, that can help you to stop overeating. The third thing I'll give you is a set of recorded coaching sessions, because there's a lot of information. It sounds a little scary in the abstract, but if you listen to people going through the coaching process, you'll see we take them from feeling confused and powerless and hopeless about food and cravings to feeling hopeful and optimistic and confident within just a session. So I recorded a whole bunch of sessions so you could hear that. And it's all at defeatyourcravings.com, defeatyourcravings.com.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. I really appreciate your time and your energy and your purpose. And guys, we'll put the link in the show notes there. It's defeatyourcravings.com. Click the free blue button, get the free book and all the bonuses and the recordings he's got to help you and maybe help some friends and family members, you know, are struggling. This could be a good link to share with them. Until next time, change yourself. Change your world, and we will see you guys again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Tim James Unleashed. Remember, you can't get where you're going by staying where you are. If the information in the show inspired you today, then you owe it to yourself to take action on it, even if it's a small step, and get the ball rolling in your favor. Your life is up to you. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll be exploring more exciting life-changing strategies. Change yourself, change your world. The information provided in this show is intended for your general knowledge only and is not intended to be, nor is it, medical advice or a substitute for medical advice. If you have or suspect you have a specific medical condition or disease, please consult your healthcare provider.